Welcome to Twin Cities Theater Chat. This podcast is created by members of the Twin Cities Theater Bloggers to share our love of theater, promote theater going, and support our theater community. My name is Carol Jackson, and I write for Minnesota Theater Love. On today's episode, Keith Russell of Life in Review is joined by director, choreographer, dancer, actor Kyle Weiler. This conversation takes us from the Juilliard School to his current gig, which is directing the operas Trouble in Tahiti and Service Provider for Minnesota Opera, which is at Luminary Arts Center from March 9th to the 23rd. Along the way, you're going to hear about his time touring as Riff in West Side Story, to the surprising story behind his being cast in Hamilton on Broadway, and what he loves about being here in Minnesota theater. Enjoy!
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I actually just opened up and read the program for Crazy for You and realized that you have BFA from the Juilliard School. And I don't feel like I'm worthy to talk to somebody from Juilliard.
Oh, no, I could not agree less. but that is true.
Congrats. So was that your purpose on going out to New York?
I knew that I wanted to go to New York. I had no intention of going to Juilliard. It never occurred to me, nor was like a goal. But it happened, and it felt like one of those things that was kind of like the Olympics that you want to do maybe once, do the best you possibly can, and then move on. So, yeah, but that is why I moved out to New York when I was 18.
Awesome. Because that was one of the questions a lot of the bloggers had was, why did he move to New York? What brought him back?
Went to New York for school. I stuck around for a little bit and then had a life and career and did that things. I think coming back was all about diversifying what types of projects I was doing and the work that I was doing. Mm-hmm. The fact that this last year I could move from being in a show and choreographing a show and then directing a show and then being in a show and choreographing a show and then directing an opera, all like back to back to back, was something that I just love it so much. And I knew that that is a harder thing to do in New York. And so it was about, I felt pretty good in long running shows for about 8 years total, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to come back and use all the other parts of me.
So in New York, you were in Hamilton. How did that come about?
So after college, I spent a summer at Theater Aspen. And then I went right into the international tour of West Side Story for almost 2 years, which is a crazy wild experience to do 30 plus countries, dance casting the show, having my track, having a principal track as well, teaching everyone the show. It was all consuming in the best way. And this is a true story that I'm going to share. So I had this moment on tour. I was like, oh, I think the next thing I'm do is going to be Hamilton. And on our days off of tour, we could do excursions and stuff. And I was hiking Mount Fuji, which is a real story. We're in our tour group, and I'm describing what I do to someone in the group. And he's in the military and is on a little vacation. And he suddenly knows quite a bit about my industry. And I was like, how do you know so much about my industry? Like, you're having no trouble following what I'm saying. And normally people would be very confused. And he said, oh, my sister's in the industry. She's a choreographer. And she's the associate choreographer of Hamilton. And I looked at him and went, oh my gosh, that's my next show that I'm going to do. And he was like, it's for sure not. And I was like, I promise it is. And I said, let's take a selfie. And we took a selfie, sent it to his sister, Stephanie, who is the associate choreographer of Hamilton. We became good friends. And anyway, so I get back to the States probably 8 months later. And I asked the agent, I was like, you need to get me into Hamilton. And they're like, I don't think it's going to work out for you. I was like, I literally promise you this is going to happen. So I get in the room and there is Stephanie, who I'd sent this selfie to, who I didn't know at all. The week of auditions went by. I finally got the courage to be like, hey, that was me who sent you that selfie. And I guess the story is I walked out of the room and she looked at the dance captain and said, oh, thank God he's getting the job. Otherwise, that would have been awkward. And I was like, oh, so that's my story of how that came about.
That's awesome. So what is that experience? I mean, I know what the experience is like. Not that I've been through it, but I'm a theater guy. I know that I follow people on Broadway. I follow that. So I know what the experience is in an audition room. But like, what is your experience for auditioning for like Riff or auditioning for West Side Story or auditioning for Hamilton? What is that experience like? Like, I mean, and by experience, I mean like the process. Is it like a cattle
Totally.
call? Is it by appointment only?
It can be very different. For Hamilton, it was an appointment. And we went in and did a dance call, a full day of dance call. And the next day we did another day of dance call. And then with Hamilton, they just kept giving me more and more and more material. And I was kind of confused by that. Come to find out the offer ended up being for a Universal Swing to cover what amounted to 30 tracks for the Broadway company plus five US company or the, all the five US companies. So that was that experience. West Side was a very different experience. I probably shouldn't share these things, but it's okay. I was coming off of probably like 15 auditions for a show, a Broadway show that I was really hoping for. And in the end, it was down to two of us and it didn't work out, whatever. And I was laying in bed just like, oh, everything is awful, that kind of thing. And my friend texted me, hey, they're having West Side auditions right now. You should come down. So I like moaned and was got out of bed and I went down there and they were just seeing Sharp Girls. And I said, hey, can I dance with the Sharp Girls? And they were like, no, that would be silly. And I was like, can I please at least be seen? They said no. So I said, please bring my headshot into the room. I promise, just please bring my headshot into the room. And so begrudgingly, they brought it into the room. And then they came back out and said, you have a call back tomorrow. And I was like, yes. So that's how
Wow,
that.
that is very cool. So a universal swing, holy crap.
Yeah, I think it has informed, for better or worse, it's how my brain works. I think that's why so often I'm in the thing and out of the thing because my brain, it's not the most delightful experience to have this be my brain, but it is. It's like always hovering over the space, like looking at the larger picture while being able to like drop pin into it. And so I think that's how I approach many projects. It's not always helpful, but that is how my brain works.
Well, yeah, but that also makes a lot of sense considering you've been in and choreographed like crazy for you. You know, that's a hell of a big show to choreograph because it's so much and it's so good. And then to play the lead at the same time, like that was a question we all had, is like, how do you choreograph and perform in the show in the same show? But now you just kind of explained it, like you see this overview, and so you kind of know where you're supposed to be and you can see the bigger picture. But speaking specifically about Crazy for You, how, like, I know I from what I saw on Instagram, you and Allie co-choreographed, and so you worked together to figure out all the dances, or was there stuff that you choreographed on your own for yourself? Like, what was that process like?
Ellie and I came on board quite late in the process. We didn't take on the project as choreographers until the end of the first week of rehearsal. So we ended up only having 1 week to create everything and teach everything, which also, for better or worse, is how my brain thrives best. When you just gotta go and you gotta get it done. It was really helpful to be collaborating with each other. Just to feel, it was the accountability thing. It was someone else to be there, and be like, oh no, that's just not going to work. Move on. Or wait, there's something special there. Keep going. And just to have someone in the room, so it's not just you and your neuroses, but there's you and someone else. And Ellie is just the most wonderful human, and so I really appreciated that. I also really struggle. So going back, I played Gabe in Next to Normal at La Ti Da and choreographed it. And so I was recently used to what that was like. Again, I had done it before in my life, but was used to that mode. But it's hard to choreograph for yourself, for me at least. I think you spend a lot of time being like, what do I think about myself? And does this look good? And so to have someone else in the room really, really was just the best.
That would be a really great benefit to have, because obviously you can have the mirror, but that's not telling you. It's telling you the same thing your mind is telling you, which is usually negative, because we're all artists, and that's just our standard for the most part. It's like, oh, I suck, I suck, I suck. So
And I just
it's good to
really,
have somebody to give feedback and go, no, that's a good move. Yeah, that'd be good.
wanted our wonderful cast to feel really taken care of, and so I kind of like waited till the end to like look at the stuff that I was doing, which that's just how it went. So yeah,
Nice. It was a great production. Loved it.
thank you.
And I think all the bloggers loved it. Like everyone who saw it was like, it's an amazing show. So congrats. Way to go.
Thank you so much.
How do you get directing jobs here in the cities? Like, how do you get these jobs?
That's a very good question. I think I'm trying to figure that out.
And I obviously I know the answer is going to be varied for different people. Like certain people will get asked to do a job, certain people will find a job or hear about it and apply. I know Lakeshore does applications. I saw your She Loves You or She Loves Me at Lakeshore, and I thought it was a great production,
Thank
great
you.
direction, great choreo. Like the whole show itself is just excuse me, just such a great show. Like it was a great script and music. You can't really do much wrong with it, but what you did with it was like so good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I know that Lakeshore, I've seen Lakeshore, they post that they're looking for directors and you can apply, at least in the past, you can apply for that. So was that your process with Lakeshore and was that your process with like Minnesota Opera or Artistry or were you, re did they reach out to you?
Oof, yeah. I think, well, I want to say the hopeful answer first. I always hope that if you do the best work you possibly can and hopefully do good work, that that can lead to other work. So that's my hope always. But it's always different. They didn't have applications at Lakeshore last year. And I had applied a bit, actually. And was struggling to get my foot in the door. And so I finally just was like, I'd love to sit down with you and talk to you about what can I do. With Artistry, it was the same thing. Like I reached out as often as I could before I moved back here. But finally it was just like, I think I need to just sit down with you and just be like, this is who I am, this is what I love to do, this is what I'm able to bring to a process. Minnesota Opera was similar. Yeah, I sat down with them. Probably the first time was 3 years ago, where I connected with Ryan Taylor, the artistic director, and just said, I would love to work with y'all. And then I met with the production manager last year and just said, this is who I am. I didn't really expect anything out of it, but then the offer came by. So
That's very cool. So, are you directing? Because I know you have an opera, or are you directing both operas?
both operas,
Okay. So I know
or
Bernstein. I don't know the other composer at all. But what and were you aware of who he was? Like, did you know his music or at least his style before going in?
Christopher's music, I didn't know too well. I spoke with the librettist, John, last year to talk about what their process was like writing the piece, but I didn't know his music as well. It's interesting to go from Bernstein to a contemporary piece and the differences in how they sound, obviously, but also how the singers feel about it. I think contemporary music is stressful. If I am being honest, it is very challenging to sing. There's so much counting that's happening. And on top of it's a comedy. So you're like, oh, that's a lot. But I was mainly so excited about the project of these two pairings that feel like different sides of the same coin of marriages that really highlight the space that can exist between two people who live their lives very close together in proximity physically. And one is, I think, more, Bernstein is more of a haunting quality, and more of an impressionistic sensibility, where Service Provider, Act Two in our double bill, shows the influence that technology has on relationships and just is wittier and sassy and bright and dramatic. So, yeah.
So I should, for the listening audience, I should let say
Yeah.
this, like, we're just rambling on, or I'm
Sorry,
rambling on.
audience.
Like, sorry. We're talking right now about Minnesota Opera, upcoming shows, upcoming opera with them, March 9th through the 23rd at Luminary. It's a double bill. First opera is Trouble in Tahiti with music and libretto by Leonard Bernstein. There's a Minnesota Opera premiere. And the other one is Service Provider, also a Minnesota Opera premiere with music by Christopher Weiss and then libretto by John de los Santos. So did it help know having a background in Bernstein, having done West Side Story and having at least known his music, did that help or is that helping the process of you directing this piece?
I think for me, I think for our singers, I don't know. But I was joking when we had our meet and greet the first day that I just feel like every part of my body kind of knows. That's a too large of a statement to say, but is very familiar with Bernstein's music and how it relates to my pinky and my heart and all these places that I have been approaching his work from such a physical aggressively physical place for quite a long time. And so part of the process is I'm feeling all those things in the room in my body and how to let that drop and settle away and let this be about the voice. And this music that is coming forward lyrically is an interesting experience because his music to me is so big and so physical. And Troubled Tahiti, for the most part, are very intimate domestic scenes. And so what became apparent early on, this is maybe a little bit of a tangent, in our design process was how do you create an evening that accounts for the scale of this music and the scale and intimacy of these scenes? And so we've really been thinking a lot about that in the luminary space specifically is how do we keep the space very open and transparent and then have structures that bring them very forward into the audience and create these walls.
How is it, is there a difference in, as a director, in your view, is there a difference between directing opera versus directing musical?
I think there's a lot of differences, many differences. I assistant directed and choreographed the world premiere of The Life and Deaths of Alan Turing in Chicago last spring with Peter Rothstein. And it was such an interesting experience to really figure out the true differences between approaching a piece of theater and a piece of opera. I always say that time is stretched in opera. Mm-hmm. And so there's more space for stillness, more space for, there's a slower thought process as you're discovering these words. Where in music theater, it's so quick. It's so this beat. So I think that's probably the biggest difference. And there's just a different sensibility in the room. How the room functions is very different. The rehearsal room, I mean, is very different than a theater experience. There's more people in the room supporting the process. There's more structure to how we communicate with each other. Where I always feel like theater is a little bit like rolling around in the mud. Like it's just,
so true.
You're like, let's get in there, and it's messy, and you know, and I'm all the things. And there's a little bit more of a system to how an opera rehearsal room functions. I think for most things that are musical, I have it in my ear at all times. Like even the rehearsal room right now, on any break, I put my AirPods in and I'm just always getting into my body. And because I knew I was doing this project for the last year, even though like I've been bouncing around to so many different things, I just always have this music in my ear because I have to put it into my body. Like I have to somehow know this. And then you begin to internalize the subtext. You know, in opera we might say, how are you 4 measures today, right? And I have to somehow, my body has to figure out like what are those 4 measures about? Why did I pause before today and figure out what was I doing, you know? And that's when you begin to realize, oh, I was doing the dishes, I put the dishes down, and then I said something. And I think the same thing for theater too. It's just not that I'm trying to create the exact prescription that I want them, the performers, to inhabit, but for myself, I just have to figure out why is this like this? And it has to become second nature to me in order for me to feel comfortable making statements about the piece. And I'm just a really visual person. Mm-hmm. And so the more I listen to this music, these visuals just like keep coming up that just help guide the process. I think that was true of Next to Normal. And how do we use abstract movement to shape the space and bend the space? I kept saying like, we're bending the space and tipping reality into a different place. And with She Loves Me, it was all about, you know, this perfect poetic imagery of, you know, these flowers that were opening up. And it had to do with how we transitioned in our world and all these things. And Troubled Tahiti and Service Provider share a similar visual poetry in how we're telling the story. And that only came about because I just was listening to it for a year, you know.
What are you working on after this? What do you have lined up? That's the question.
Oh, gosh, I don't have anything lined up.
What?
I know. It's absolutely terrifying. I think that's the tricky thing, is like you're always hustling to just keep doing what you love to do. And I do feel proud of the work that I've been able to do coming back to the Twin Cities. So I'm hopeful, but it's always scary because you don't really know. So yeah, I am going on vacation, which will be good.
Good for you.
But yeah, I'm hopeful. I hope to continue bouncing between performing and directing, choreographing. I think there's a myth that you have to choose one or the other and that it's bad to do both.
Yeah.
But I find it so informative. Like, I don't know. And I don't know if we have to choose.
I don't think we
do. Maybe one day, but not right now. So.
But even one day, I mean, you think about Fosse, like he chose to mainly do directing and choreographing, but he also then did film and he also was performing in some film.
Right.
So like, you know, think about somebody like him who is doing a little bit of everything in his time. I think choosing was at one point that is what people expect, but I think things are changing. I don't think we need to anymore.
I agree.
So quickly, dream project as a performer.
Oh, Lord, I'm the worst at this question. Oh, gosh. Like, I just don't even know if I think that way. So.
Or in that case, like five characters, five roles as a performer that you would love to play.
Oh, no. I guess I have to say, like, it's really interesting. So Gabe and Ex-Normal, never. I was like, oh, I just will never do that show. So that was interesting. Then I went on to play the Gene Wilder character in Young Frankenstein the next week after. I was like, I never thought about playing that. I never thought of doing Crazy for You, mm-hmm. ever. Like, it was not even, I never thought about it once. So I guess my biggest dream roles are that I just get to keep changing up how people think of me and see me and how I think of myself. I would love to, you know, I'd love to do something like The Importance of Being Earnest or a play. I'd love to do a play just to kind of subvert the idea that if you can sing and dance, that means you're a musical theater actor, as
yeah,
opposed to,
yeah.
No, you're an actor. You're
yep.
That's what you do. So that might be a big goal of mine. I've thought of Hadestown recently as a project.
I would love to see a local production of that when that's available.
Totally. I didn't see Shucked, honestly, but I love a good comedy and something that just feels fun to do. So often it was from West Side to Hamilton, and I was just so physical and so all encompassing and intense. And it would be very fun to do something a little lighthearted.
Yeah,
easily.
I'm sure. As somebody who directs and choreographs, is there anything specific? I mean, you mentioned Hadestown. Is there anything specific you would also love to?
I think Billy Elliot's always at the top of my list.
Oh,
I feel
fun.
Like just so emotionally connected to that story. And is a great example of how you can use visual poetry to create a really moving experience. You know, the inner world of this kid, he sees movement everywhere. And all the adults in his life are like, we don't move, we don't do this, we don't dance.
Yeah.
And what his world is, he sees it all around him. And so I think that's super fun. Amelie is a project that I would love to do. I've been talking about it in this community for quite a bit. So if you're listening out there, we've probably talked about this. I think it's another example of a story. It's not a love story. It's about the courage to connect with people, the courage to approach a selfless life and the benefits that might come from that. I think it's a musical that should continue being looked at and examined and tweaked, and also relies on visual poetry to tell. I think visual poetry makes up most of the emotional core of that story. It's
okay.
What we don't say, but what we see. So I think there's elements of Cirque in there. I think there's lots of tools that come together to tell that story. So that's
nice.
Something I'm passionate about. I think it's really beautiful. I think there's a lot of great stuff in it. So.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time out of your morning, out of your busy schedule for doing this. I'm definitely going to be there at the opera, and I hope other people will as well. And I know that all of us bloggers are probably really looking forward to seeing what you do next after this, after the opera, after you get back from vacation.
Yeah.
So
amazing. Well,
thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Our thanks to Kyle Weiler for joining us on Twin Cities Theater Chat. You can catch Trouble in Tahiti and Service Provider at Minnesota Opera at the Luminary Arts Center from March 9th to the 23rd. Thank you for listening to Twin Cities Theater Chat. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform, rate us, review us, and spread the word. Follow the Twin Cities Theater bloggers on Facebook and Instagram to read our reviews and find out what we're up to, and go see a show or an opera. Bro.